Show. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Here we are. A new week begins. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home. Brand new redesigned website courtesy of John Fox. Thank you very much, John Fox. Thank you indeed. There at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, all kinds of podcasting options for you, podcast downloading options, as well as access to pop-up players that are the envy of radio everywhere. We also have, of course, access to the chat room. Wait a minute. Did he say chat room? He did. And he is, in fact... No, you clicked the wrong damn button there, genius boy. Yep, I'm headed there now. Hope you will be, too. Moran Monday being what it is. And, yes, that's what it is. It's Moran Monday. Oh, my God, we have Morans this Monday. Moran Monday being what it is, I expect we will have nothing if not a zany experience this evening in the full multimedia. Wow, party that is the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. Good evening, Anatole. Good evening, Carol Baker, News Ninja. Good evening, Jeremy in Vermont. Good evening, John. Good evening, Kathy and Michael and Texas P and Todd. Capably moderated by longtime veteran Horn chat room moderator and host of the Horn Malloy Skype chat group, Sparky. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. Loud and clear on TuneIn. I appreciate that. Like I said earlier, it's Moran Monday. And beyond that, a couple of other things, too. One. When our buddy Gary Laborman kicked into Friday night's fundraising, he wanted you all to know, and I got so caught up in the conversation and the moment and everything that I neglected to mention, that he was picking up on Ed and Margaret and saying, have a show on me, and challenging others to do likewise. Well, likewise, we find ourselves today at the 20th day of October, 2014, October running downhill to its conclusion, as does this year generally. Hard to believe there will only be 2 months of 2014 left in about 11 days. Whoa. But the theme seems to be picked up upon this evening. It's the 20th of the month, and that means it's time for Robert's 20th of the month Up Over Down Under Challenge, in which there's $150, an entire show evening program's fundraising on the table, if only it will be matched by someone else or some combination of someone's. In particular, Robert said about $150 at a buck a piece would be just fine. So that is on the table. Have a show on Robert, and then have tomorrow night's show as well, and that plays into some program notes here as follows. I have to be away on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. Among other things, I have to make a run to pick up Ferg at the airport, and I also have to take Agnes for some doctoring down in the Kanawha Valley. So that will knock out programming on Wednesday and Thursday. So this is a great opportunity to get out front of that, which would be a real bonus. So there we are with there we are with the 20th of the month Up Over Down Under Challenge. And thanks very much to Robert for making it. Now, in order for us to get the challenge, all that has to happen is we have to either have 150 at 1, 3 at 50, 2 at 75, 6 at 3250, and my brain's not much good for much more ciphering or gazintas than that. So there we are. Hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. And good evening, Doctor Who wandering in. Really, Doctor Who? Doctor Who wandering into the chat room. You know, I noticed that the current doctor, Peter Capaldi, sometimes it takes a while for me to make connections, but I realized who he is. In one of my favorite, you know, it's a comedy, but it's just a beautiful little film. One of my favorite films, Local Hero. He plays Danny Olson, Danny Olson, who is the sidekick to Peter Riegert's character in Local Hero. And he's a multilingual PR specialist or something for the oil company in the plot of that. And there's a wonderful scene with him sitting with Marina, explaining to her that kiss in Japanese is kizu. And it took me a minute. Sorry. Yes, Michael in the chat room saying, "Hey, Bob, way to go, WVU. Took out Baylor, number 4 in the country." Yes, we did. And convincingly, I might add. That was a lot of fun to sit back and watch on Saturday. It was the best performance I've seen the Mountaineers turn in probably a couple of seasons. Maybe going all the way back to the bowl game in which we utterly demolished Clemson. And so onward, I think, if I've got the schedule right in my head, onward to Oklahoma State and a visit to Stillwater this Saturday. Now Bridge Day was also Saturday, so I divided my time between the Mountaineers and Bridge Day. Got myself a nice 5 mile or so walk in. Walked across the New River Gorge Bridge just to say I done did it. It was gray and cold. Posted a couple of pictures on Facebook if you want to go and have a look. But even in the gray and the cold and the sort of spitting misty rain that had real ambition to be sleet, it was a lovely day, and the vendors were out, and the T-shirt sellers, and the absolute no-doubt gall-danged fools who jump off the bridge with parachutes. Mm-hmm. But all told, it was a lovely afternoon, and then some good college football to keep up with when I got back here to the mansion. Posted a picture on Facebook not too long back of a little white house sitting on a hill in front of the ridge line, turning colors and everything. And people asked, "That is not the mansion by any stretch of imagination." Mm-mm. No. Todd in the chat room, "Bob, did you jump?" No. Who would jump off of a perfectly good bridge? Anatole saying, "There's nothing wrong with parachutes, Mr. Bob." Well, no, I didn't say there is, but generally I like a little more than 876 feet in which for them to behave like parachutes. At 876, you come down rather quick down there, and you know what? The New River is not exactly bathwater this time of year. Yes, I'm chicken. I absolutely am chicken. I live in a whitewater tourism rafting area, and let me name you two things that I don't do. I don't jump off bridges with parachutes, and I don't go down whitewater rafting rivers if I want to go fast and feel really and be afraid I'm about to die. The highway's right out there, but at least I'm in control of the vehicle. See? Yeah.
Carol Baker understands. Bob listened to his mama. If everyone else jumped off a bridge, would you? No, mother. Listen, some of the teaching takes. It just does. So, yeah, there we have it. But no. It is Moray Monday, and hopefully we will take care of the fundraising for this Monday so that we will not get in a great big howling, deep, creepy hole for the rest of the week. But, oh, my God. Usually the Morans have kind of gotten it out of their system by, say, Sunday evening, but apparently no, it carried over into the morning.
Goodness!
That's a hint. Yeah, definitely. Thank you for the update, Carol. The Mountaineers go to Stillwater, Oklahoma for Oklahoma State this Saturday. The following week, they host TCU at home, who did a number on Oklahoma State. Oklahoma also went down this past Saturday, so the Big 12 is kind of a toss-up right now. It could get very interesting very quickly. And TCU looked pretty decent, so it remains to be seen. No, it's more in Monday. and like I said, there was a little hint there a moment ago, but yes, by all means.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. Waste not a moment. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once. Come on up to this and right behind me, right here, this thin cybernetic veil of canvas, behind which you will find morans of all stripe, all manner, all the... every kind of moran imaginable. Right-wing morans, libertarian morans, John Bircher morans, Republican morans, birther morans, deathers, tenthers, booger-eating morans, one and all. Yes, indeed, for less than 5 cents per hour of programming, this is the program that tells the morans. And you can't tell the morans without a program. You just can't tell them much. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morans. Oh, no, really. Remember how last Thorn in the Side Thursday was E-Bowler, E-Gads edition? Well, no one is more tired of hearing about the American Ebola freakout than I. But apparently I don't share the same aesthetic sense as people who book the three major Sunday news programs and some others, too, for that matter. Oh, my God. There she was this morning. Marsha Blackburn. Marsha. Marsha Blackburn.
Goodness.
Who has an IQ equivalent roughly to that of, say, I don't know, the dysentery part of amoebic dysentery. Yeah. She's unhappy, like many others, in the right wing, among the boogervores. She is upset with the president's choice of the Ebola czar. Mm-hmm. Marsha Blackburn is. You know what? She thinks the president had a...
Goodness, he missed such an opportunity to reach across the aisle. You know who would have made a great Ebola czar? Bill the Cat Killer Freest.
I kid you not. I heard it with my own little old ears I done did. No, really. That Bill Frist, former speaker of the, I mean, former Senate Majority Leader. Yeah, from Tennessee. Scion of the family that has become fabulously wealthy with Healthcare Corporation of America, HCA, which at some point in time wound up engaged in one of, if not the largest Medicare, Medicaid frauds in the nation's history. That Bill Frist. Bill Frist, who, when a medical student up east, would, as a hobby, go and adopt shelter animals and bring them home and vivisect them so that he could be a better doctor. Kind of the pale white version of Ben Carson for a different era back in the 90s, Bill the Cat Killer Frist. And, of course, Bill Frist, who remotely diagnosed Terry Schiavo by placing two fingers aside his head and looking seriously at a video monitor. That Bill Frist. Bill Frist, who, when the tsunami hit Southeast Asia, went over there to inspect the damage and instructed a photographer, yeah, get a picture of me here, son. Yeah, make sure you get plenty of good devastation in the background. That Bill Frist. So, lead Moran of the evening, Marsha Blackburn.
Goodness!
Marsha Blackburn wanted Bill Frist. We needed a doctor, and yet nobody there on, and I don't know why. I mean, this is a big fat one hanging right over the middle of the plate, and I mean, you can park it deep in the, deep in the cheap seats. Well, ma'am, wouldn't it be nice to have a Surgeon General about now? I mean, couldn't a Surgeon General really do a fine job dealing with Ebola right now and all your freaky little panics about it?
Goodness.
Nope, nobody asked the question. The only people asking that question are out here running little radio programs on the interweb tubes, and so what the hell, right? Why not? But that's just the tip of the ice. That's the tip of the Ebola or EGADS iceberg. Then there are the you know what? I did. When I read this story earlier in the day, I double checked. Sometimes I do that these days. I double checked. I ran over and checked at The Onion, and now I've learned to also check the Daily Courant, to make sure it wasn't a joke, but no, it's real. Couple of school kids from Rwanda are not going to be allowed to go to school here in the United States of Merca. Now, I it's probably unnecessary that I mention that Rwanda is not one of the Ebola nations. That would be Guinea and Sierra Leone and Liberia. But, oh, and by the way, congratulations, Nigeria. You have been declared Ebola-free, which cannot be said for the United States, where profit-driven hospitals say, put on a second set of gloves. I mean, whatever. So, no, really. A couple of kids from Rwanda who managed to get born in that country and maybe and have since come to the United States, only to find out the Rupert Murdoch-driven version of Radio Rwanda, which was deeply involved in the horrors in that country in the 1990s, is alive and well and going by the doing business as name is of Fox News. So a couple of kids from Rwanda ain't going to get no edumacation for a while yet. And it's moments like this that you just become deeply, deeply embarrassed for your nation, our nation. The school is in New Jersey, but it has a goddess of irony name. Yeah. The two elementary school children, you know, little ones, they recently moved to the United States from Rwanda. For those interested in geography, I'll never forget how my grandmother, bless her, taught me to spell geography. George Ellis's oldest girl rode a pig home yesterday. That's how you spell geography. George Ellis's oldest girl rode a pig home yesterday. I have never since misspelled geography. I have yet to come up with something nearly so catchy for anti-disestablishmentarianism. But for the geographically inclined, it is 2,600 miles from Rwanda, from the Rwandan border to anywhere that has Ebola. But you know, that Ebola, it travels at apparently warp speed, or at least stupidity and fear do. I'd like to see a remake about long about now of the classic Twilight Zone episode that was all about communism and red baiting. The monsters are due on Maple Street. It should be retitled "The Ebola is due on Maple Street." Yeah, yeah, Jeremy, I know. But Bob, Ebola's killed 2 and infected 5. Just forget the fact that the plain old flu kills 22,000. I know, I know. Nobody keeping their kids out of school for flu. Wow, was it 57,000 last year? I thought it was like 22 or something. I got to keep up with my the boring garden variety epidemic kind of, Jesus. No, it's 2,600 miles from Rwanda to anywhere that has Ebola. But nonetheless, two precious little elementary school children, you know, with that kind of skin, aren't going to school at. It's a mite early to be chewing through the duct tape and the hockey pucks, but we may as well get a few teeth marks into them early. At the Howard Yoakum Elementary School. Howard was known as Pappy to those who knew and loved him. It sits there right next to the Daisy May Yoakum preschool. And then there's the Jubilation T. Cornpone Technical Center. Oh. Nope, ain't nobody going to go get no larning to the Yoakum Elementary School in New Jersey. And we get the hillbilly jokes told on us. So here's how that went down, since we're marching through this kind of stuff on Moran Monday. The school, God knows why, told the teachers that two children were due to start school today. Well, one of the eachertays couldn't eep k is hey althme utche. And the erdway otge out. Ixnay on the Ebola A. No. So either, okay, it might not have been the teachers. Let's be charitable here. It might not have been the teachers. It might have been the principal secretary or whoever does the principal's emailing for him or her. Somebody yapped. Loose lips sink the educational hopes and dreams of immigrants coming to the United States from a country that doesn't have Ebola. So once the Erdway left the Ulske, the errants pay eked Frey. Come on. How many other progressive broadcasts are there where the news is delivered in pig Latin? Really? It's Moran Monday, please. No, really, the parents bugged out. And the parents started saying things like, and these are some things that were said by parents who send their kids to Pappy Yoakum Elementary. I don't feel comfortable sending my daughter to school with people who could be infected with Ebola. Really concerns me. I don't want to keep my boy out of school. Tell us when we come to the door, into the door. Don't smile in my face and have a secret like that. Anybody from that area should just stay there until all this stuff is resolved. There's nobody affected here. Let's just keep it that way. I think for another couple of weeks, I don't think it would hurt. I mean, you have a lot of children that are involved, so I don't think that would hurt. Except the two children who are perfectly, completely, utterly, totally, unquestionably innocent in all of this. All of those quotes, by the way, and I know you will appreciate the delightful irony of this. All of those quotes come from a news package produced by Fox 29 News TV. Yeah. Who's been ginning up the... Well, okay, not just Fox, but CNN and... Yeah. I don't feel comfortable sending my daughter to school with people who could be infected with Ebola. How do you feel about sending your daughter to school with people who could not possibly be infected with Ebola? Oh, do they look like, I mean, you know, they're from over, you know. Yes. Well, then they could have Ebola. I'm just checking in here, and I don't want to get anything started, but... has anyone noted whether there were any allegations yet of whether Michael Brown had Ebola? Or Trayvon Martin? That seems to be the route that we are taking here. Now, the family of the two children are being reported as having decided to keep their little ones home for the 21-day potential Ebola incubation period. Honest to God, they're immigrants. They're among the weakest and most powerless people in this country. No matter the status, green cards, don't care, they're immigrants. And the monsters are due on Ebola Street. See, the fun thing about the monsters are due on Maple Street, if you watch that classic Twilight Zone episode, you'll figure out by the end of the episode that the monsters have been there all along. The monsters are the people who already live on Maple Street. So two children are going to be 2 weeks behind in their schooling. Here in the land of the free and the home of the... What, are you crazy? I ain't sending my kid to... Right. But that ain't all. That's Jersey. Okay? We ain't done. Then there's, let's see. Oh, my goodness. Then there's the, what's described by the New York Times as the crowd of parents in Mississippi Stan, which I think could probably be easily equally characterized as angry mob. You know, pitchforks, torches. A riot is an ugly thing. What? I said a riot's an ugly thing. Nice grouping. Nope, there was an ugly mob who pulled their youngins out of a school, a middle school in Mississippi Stan last week. Why? No. It's not because two children from Rwanda were going to school there. No parents from Rwanda in their right mind would ever go to Mississippi Stan. Nope. The angry mob of parents pulled their youngins out of the Mississippi Stan school because they found out that the principal of the school had, at one point, traveled to Zambia, which is another county in the country of Africa. Damn. I mean, really. Once again, Zambia is nowhere near Liberia, Sierra Leone, or Guinea. Nip. Nonetheless, we're just going to keep our kids out of there.
Goodness, if only Bill Frist were here.
We're gonna have to come up with an ending phrase for the national anthem. Land of the free and the home of the Ebola! Really doesn't scan, does it? Jumping Jehoshaphat. And then there's people bugging out because somebody done been to Dallas. No, really. And, you know, okay, so that one story was out of Mississippi Stan. And, well, it's Mississippi Stan, so, you know, forget about it. Jake, right? But New Jersey? Really? There at the Pappy Yoakum Elementary School? Maine? Well, you know what? A majority of people who bothered to go to the polls to elect a governor did manage to elect, what's Charlie Pierce call him? Human bowling jacket Paul LePage? So, I guess there's reason to question the sanity of Maine. It damn sure is now. No, really. an elementary school teacher there in Maine is now on 21 days paid administrative leave. No, really, we'll keep paying you. Just don't come to school. We don't need the angry mobs. People are not very bright in this country. You just stay home. Mm-hmm. The elementary school teacher in Maine went to an educational conference in Dallas. The goddess of irony would be working way too hard. There's just no chance that this woman's first name could possibly be Alice and give us a reason to play Don't Bogart That Joint by Little Feet. You know, seen my pretty Alice in every headlight? Alice, Dallas, Alice. No. So, the educational conference, I mean, never mind 2,600 miles from Rwanda to Guinea, Sierra Leone, or Liberia. No, screw that. No, this particular teacher stayed at a hotel that was exactly 9.5 miles away from Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital. Yeah. Nine and a half miles. This country. We need a moron klaxon, don't we? The Think Progress article that brings this case to light notes that if the school board's criteria of addressing parents' concerns, what if the parents are morons? I mean, really? Because it's pretty obvious that these concerned parents are. Well, okay, I mean, she was 9.5 miles from that hospital. How do we know she didn't lick a sweaty Liberian? Oh, I don't know, because there's a morality clause in her teacher's contract. What? Huh. Oh, the despair. No, but anyway, Think Progress notes that the entire city of Dallas would have to stay home from work, and about 5 million people within the United States who travel either to or through Dallas every month, well, they'd be in kind of a pickle, too. I don't think Dallas, as big a city as it is, I mean, it's in Texas, and everything's bigger in Texas. I don't think Dallas is equipped to house 5 million extra people for 21 days every day. I mean, there's two or three plane loads of hillbillies that leave Charleston, West Virginia, and go to Dallas every day. Get out the swirly straw. It is going to be a fun, I mean, fun evening. Because bear in mind, this teacher in Maine didn't come into contact with anybody who had come into contact with Mr. Duncan. She didn't come into contact with anybody who came into contact with Mr. Duncan. She didn't come into contact with anybody who came into contact with somebody who came into contact with somebody who came into contact with somebody who came into contact with Mr. Duncan. Dallas is absolutely chock full of people who didn't come into contact with anybody who came 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 into contact with Mr. Duncan. No, that's okay. It's all right. just take a 3-week paid vacation. Go on a cruise. Enjoy yourself. Relax. Because we've got a bunch of... Because, see, the administrators of whatever school system that is cannot look at the morons who come in and say, no, I'm sorry, we're not going to throw her out of the classroom just because you're a moron. Because this is, after all, Merca. And here in Merca, when you tell a moron that they're a moron, the moron might actually have a gun strapped to their hip and get out and start, you know, availing themselves of Second Amendment remedies. I don't want my little precious lumpkin dying of Ebola. Die, you communist, socialist, Muslim-supporting Ebola friend of Ebola. Hey. And then a note coming in from Jeremy in Vermont. Bob, my boss is freaked out because we have a worker who is from Bolivia. Like I told you, I think the hockey puck was warranted. We should know now for more in Monday, right? My boss is freaked out because we have a worker who is from Bolivia. Well, you know, Bolivia and Ebola. Is there any? No. Well, but there's a B-O-L-A in there, and he needs to go back to Bolivia for a month. You know, it's so near Africa and everything, and all of Africa has Ebola. Yes, I laughed and said, I'll sleep just fine. He tried to talk me onto the same rooftop as him, but I still just said, nah, I'm not worried, but thank you. No. And then there's something that I read on social media today. Another individual. Young man got sick on an airplane today. Mm-hmm. Like maybe low blood sugar, dehydration. You know, do you realize how easily you can dehydrate on a long flight? I mean, I've noticed it a couple of times. I've gotten to where I always carry a couple of bottles of water onto the plane with me, because that one little cup of water they give you ain't going to cut the mustard. Young man pretty obviously hadn't had much to eat, might have been dehydrated, but he kind of passed out on the plane, at which a couple of guys behind him on the aircraft began flipping out. Because Ebola America. I'm not saying one should not be cognizant of the dangers of communicable disease. In fact, here, let's take a moment for a public service announcement. Please, if you have not already, go and get you a flu shot. Oh, I know. Alex Jones says it'll turn you into a Kenyan Muslim socialist robot zombie member of the Obama FEMA detention center army. Still, get one. Or if you know somebody who's, you know, in one of those fragile at-risk populations, you know, the very young, the elderly, encourage them to get a flu vaccine. Because it really does. It kills tens of thousands of people in the United States every year. Uh-huh. Well, I'm glad to know that was not gone, that didn't go entirely unnoticed, even though it was really a legitimate slip of the tongue. Sergi writing in, noting, The parents had better not send their skids to school. That's a bona fide, certified, rarefied, testified, genuine way to spread that Ebola when you send the skids to school. Oh, Jesus. But it's twoo. It's twoo. It's twoo. It's twoo. More folks wandering into the chat room this evening. Good evening, Dwayne. Good evening, R. Kellison. Good evening, Kelly and Kathy. Where'd Todd go? Good evening, one and all. One, if you've never been to the Horn chat room, wander by. It really is a very, very fun, good time. Think Progress did some interesting research. Well, they're sort of giving a boost to a political blogger by the name of Lee Papa. It turns out that most of these right-wingers who are having a poop hemorrhage, which is probably not the right metaphor to use here, but the Rude Pundit asked, does any Republican talking about Ebola say, I'm not a scientist like they do with climate change? Because Lord knows they say that a lot. Well, it turns out the answer to that question is, no. The Rude Pundit has it over at rudepundit.blogspot.com. GOP, we're not scientists except when we are. Republicans are glad to tell you that either the evidence is inconclusive or that they are too dumb to understand the science when it comes to climate change, so they think it's wrong to act like it's a crisis and refuse to do anything or to slow or halt it. However, they all will go bug nuts crazy and try to cause panic when it comes to the science around the spread of Ebola, even when they have it wrong. The list is considerable. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell again. Speaker of the House John Boehner. Speaker of the House John Boehner some more. Louisiana Governor not really named Bobby Piyush Jindal. Representative Paul Ryan. Representative Paul Ryan some more. Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, Ted Cruz. And by the way, over the weekend I did run across that one. Ron Paul, cranky old Ron Paul, father of Rand, couldn't help pointing out that the free market could protect us against Ebola, a whole lot better than the government could, because government can't do nothing right. Yeah. Let's see, yeah, John Boehner, I'm not qualified to debate the science of climate change, global warming. Piyush Jindal will leave climate change to the scientists. He, however, wants a flight ban from a country that doesn't have any direct flights to the United States as a matter of common sense. And there are people coming off the quarantine list even as we speak, you know, down in Dallas. Yeah. Doesn't much matter. Sometimes things just go a little sideways, even over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda. Michael Osterholm, who is an expert on infectious disease epidemiology, said we really should stop with the freak out. Opstay with the eek out fray. I think what we're not talking about is the devastation that this is causing in Africa, not just in human lives, but from a security standpoint. Okay. If this moves eastward the country of Africa, but
because if we ever had any doubts, they're all pretty well confirmed now. Most of the less than 90 IQ denizens of the United States of America think that Africa is a country and not a continent.
Dr. Osterholm said, if this moves eastward as we believe it now might, just by people walking on foot, not being checked at borders or not getting on airplanes, the potential this has to destabilize all of Africa is huge. Ask anyone in the intelligence community what that means in terms of potential safe havens for terrorists, etc. But then again, that works to the right wing's advantage, because if it did create safe havens for terrorists, that would in turn mean that we had lots of terrorism to be afraid of, which would mean that we could have more perpetual war for more perpetual peace. And, oh, Jesus. Then he lit up, and this was the fun part. He lit up a moron by the name of Representative Tim Murphy from Pennsylvania. You know, the part that's neither Philadelphia nor, he's from the part that's neither Philadelphia nor Pittsburgh, and therefore is Alabama in the middle, one suspects. Tim Murphy wants a travel ban. Once again, he wants to ban all flights from Liberia to the United States, even though there aren't any. Well, okay, we'll ban flights from Liberia to, say, like Paris and stuff. Okay, yeah, you ban all flights coming from Paris. You do that, Bubby. Yeah, it's going to be a real hoot. Dr. Osterholm said, it's a bad idea in part because of the fact that we really don't effectively stop people from getting into this country, but we do know that a travel ban will seriously impact our ability to get people in and out of that area. He then ridiculed Murphy for comparing a potential ban to the Berlin airlift. Congressman, oh, I wish I had audio. Congressman, with all due respect, I agree with you on the Berlin airlift, but that was all military. If you're prepared today to give us hundreds of military planes that will fly in and out at will when we need them to move not only material but also people when we move around, then I'll say, well, maybe we ought to reconsider this. But I don't see anybody in Congress telling us today that we're going to get hundreds of military planes. But he wasn't done. We have to do more. And, Congressman, I would love for you to take a look at why we're not seeing more troops on the ground. Why are our supplies not arriving in the affected countries? Why is the rest of the world not responding? And we need a vaccine, Congressman. I hope you'll help us get that vaccine, because in the end, that's the only magic bullet that's going to stop this whole thing. Bullet? Did he say magic bullet? Spear and magic helmet. Bullets. That's what they need. Do you begin to conceive of just how many morons we've packed into one teeny tiny little filibobster? Enter George Will. Once again, over on new radio TV Rwanda, Fox.
The original problem was that you need to have direct contact, meaning with bodily fluids, because it's not airborne. Now there are doctors saying we're not so sure that it can't, in some instances, be transmitted airborne. When you go get on an airport, perhaps you should clean the armrest and the tray. There are some doctors saying in a sneeze or cough, some of the airborne particles can be infectious.
I don't think these jackasses understand just exactly what kind of fire they're playing with. Because it is, It really is dangerous. And a riot really is an ugly thing. And for any of these folks who thought Ferguson, Missouri got a little testy, guarantee you, bunch of angry riot and white folks, you don't want to see it. And there's plenty of folks who know that they probably want to run and hide. If you see the white folks out with the pitchforks and torches, folks who understand that that doesn't end well. By the way, let's go to a clip just because it'll be fun. Just a nice way to end the filibobster.
Continue our conversation with a medical doctor who served in the United States House of Representatives and who we mentioned before the break has a son serving in the United States Senate right now. That, of course, would be our friend Dr.
And a thing on his head.
Dr. Ron Paul, we heard your junior senator, since you're from Texas, assessing the doctors who are in the service of the Obama administration. What about the travel ban? Is it time for one?
Not a ban by government, but I think good common sense might work, in Washington.
Wait, stop! Oh, already. Not a ban by government.
Because, see, given Ron Paul's history, if there was a ban by government, that would mean that he would have to define as a hero someone who was selling black market tickets to get around the ban. Remember, Ron Paul said it was a hero where in Pittsburgh, where he was growing up, a hero butcher who would flout the rationing rules and sell black market meat on the weekends to people, you know, if the price was right, and whatever the market will bear means the price was right, right? So, you know, so what if some kid on, say, the Normandy beachhead didn't get enough food to connect? That, you know, government's the problem.
We can't have a government ban because I'm a libertarian. What we need is a corporate ban. Meh.
Dr. Ron Paul, we heard your junior senator, since you're from Texas, assessing the doctors who are in the service of the Obama administration. What about the travel ban? Is it time for one?
Wait, I missed that the first time through?
Doctors who are in the service of the Obama administration, you know, because if you're serving the Obama administration, you're obviously not serving Merca, because he's a Kenyan socialist Muslim. Jeremy pointing out, Bob, this guy from Fox News has to be predominantly white and not sexually questionable. Otherwise, Rush would scream about his mascara running.
My friend's the little sissy's mascara was running.
Right. Yeah. Got it, Jeremy. No, it actually isn't on Fox. This is over on Newsmuck. Let's continue.
Not a ban by government, but I think good common sense might work, in watching the people that are exposed over there and coming into this country. So, but for a government to just ban all travel, I'm not much interested in that. Besides, you've got to put it in
perspective. Ron, let me just drill down on that for a second. I understand libertarian leaning.
Wait, Ron, you said the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. We need a little cold water on the back of the coat and a travel ban. You said the
Yeah, and as Carol points out, wouldn't it take some governmental jackbooted thug to demand a corporate travel ban?
No, Carol, no.
Corporations do that of their own free will
because they want to protect their bottom line, because they're free marketeers and free market economics and unseen hands and everything make corporations always do the right thing if only government will get out of the way. Right? You know, except when they don't, which is always.
But aren't there legitimate public health questions that would commend a ban? Can we always depend on the good intentions of industry to self-impose that kind of ban?
Oh, God. Yes, out of the goodness of their little corporate hearts, Carol. I know, you and me, born at night, not last night, but apparently Ron Paul was. Nah, he wasn't either. He's just hustling. He's just running a hustle here.
Industry to self-impose that kind of ban?
Yeah, that's quite possible, but you got to put it in perspective. What if you wanted to save 15,000 deaths from AIDS this year? Why don't you ban certain practices that spreads AIDS? So we're talking about one person that's died.
What, Edith, huh?
Why don't you ban certain practices that cause AIDS? Like birth? You know, because children are born. I mean, HIV is a real problem. No, I don't think that's what he was talking about. Because Ron loves it when babies gets born. He wants them to have to get born, as a matter of fact.
And we want to close down the world travel system. And yet, right now, it doesn't look anything like that kind of a problem. We lose over 500 people still die from tuberculosis every year. So you have a much greater chance, J.D., of getting tuberculosis by flying an airplane. But you don't put a ban on everybody who has a cough, you know, to get on an airplane. And right now, the flu season is starting.
No, Ron, you just keep a woman from teaching for 21 days because she went to an education conference in Dallas. That's what you do. Well, but see, that's government again. There you go. By God, if this was one of those for-profit charter schools, they'd double her damned hours. You want to take time off to go to Dallas to some educating conference. You get back up here. You make up for the time you've gone, sister. By God, we'll report you. We'll report you right upstairs. The home office.
You know how many people are liable to die? Tens of thousands. Actually, the estimate is between 3,000 and 49,000 people die every year from the flu. So if you really want to do good for the world, let's ban all people who have a cold. Because they might have the flu, and we have to stop this. So right now, I would say a travel ban is politically motivated more than something done for medical purposes.
Well, point well taken.
Except for the fact that I got a feeling him and Sonny and the thing on Sonny's head are gonna have to have a little chat. Because, of course, Rand Paul and that thing on his head, he says a temporary hiatus on flights is only reasonable. Mm-hmm. You notice, however, though, in all of this libertarian dumbassery, remember, libertarians are always included in More and Monday. Not much in the way here of actually talking about people who really are suffering from Ebola, as opposed to people who are ignorantly flipped out that they might get it, you know, from a toilet seat. Let's see if Ron can maintain the status quo ante.
Appreciate that. I would be likewise remiss if I didn't turn to another story I want to get your opinion on. The whole notion of continuing negotiations with Iran over its possible nuclear program. The New York Times...
Well, is it nuclear? Is it a nuclear Ebola program? Wow.
Oh, and we do. We've got lots of other potential here. And it doesn't all have to be Ebola, egads. No. It can also be, it could be the continuing assault on voters' rights in, say, Texas. It could be a certain television program where they actually talked about the Beijing Marathon in which people were running it with respirators on, and some were unable to complete it and some were unable to start it. And they managed to talk about all the smog in Beijing and never once mention where it was coming from. Shh, you already know the answer. Because you're not morons. We're not morons. Coal, it keeps the respirators on. Yeah. And yes, I was late to the game on this, but she's just such a joy to listen to. Let's check back in real quick with the pride of North Central Tennessee. That lovely little clip with Marsha Blackburn yesterday on Face the Press This Week, whatever it was.
The appointment of longtime Democratic political operative Ron Klain to be the country's new Ebola czar, they don't call him that, they call him the person in charge of coordinating, has not gotten much praise from Republicans. One person who heard testimony...
No, really, Bob Schieffer? It hasn't gotten much praise from Republicans? And henceforward, when we say Ebola czar, shouldn't we say Ebola czar the magnificent or Ebola czar the terrible? I mean... That just kind of comes with one of those monikers. You can't just, no. Because I don't think it's Ebola Czar the Merciful.
This week from the CDC, Congresswoman Marsha Blackburn joins us now from Nashville.
Goodness.
Well, Congresswoman, the Republicans all wanted a czar appointed, and then the president appointed one, and now you don't like it. So why is that?
Well, Bob, I think that what we were hopeful was that we were going to have someone who had the experience, not only from the medical community, but in emergency response, that would be out there and help walk not only our nation, but the entire globe through this process. You know, General Honoré or former Senator Bill Frist would have been a much more appropriate type of appointee.
So the guy who had to bring armored personnel carriers through New Orleans, and yeah, so he'd be more appropriate. Or again, the guy who ran the family that had one of the biggest Medicare, Medicaid fraud. That's what she wants. And of course you realize that had that one in her White House named either one of those, that person would have also been deeply flawed, and we would have needed Willy Wonka, or perhaps Captain Kangaroo.
To address this, I don't know Ron Klain's emergency response experience. Maybe the Bush-Gore recount qualified in that, and I think...
Well, in that case, he's clearly not competent because, well, we saw how that worked out, didn't we? Never mind.
Talking to constituents, so many people have said, you know, we didn't want somebody to give us spin. We want somebody to give us the facts. And
Marsha. Giving you the facts is like giving a graphing calculator to a cat. There's just not a hell of a lot of there's not a lot of interface between, yeah. The facts are out there, Marsha. but you haven't been much interested in them. You're much more interested in trying to find out if, well, fill in the blanks yourself. I'm making myself ill.
That's what they were hopeful for.
Let me just ask you this. Republicans, people in Congress have been very critical of the president, and yet the Congress can't even break the gridlock long enough to confirm a surgeon general, which is supposed to be the top health office in the country. I know that's what the confirmation process takes part and place in the Senate. You're a member of the House. But give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, you know, I think that what you have in the House is bipartisan frustration with Harry Reid and the Senate. You know, we have 387 House-passed bills, 98% of them bipartisan, 298 of those bills veto.
That means that some coal state Democrat mugwumped along with the Republicans. That's how you define that's how you define bipartisan in Marsha Blackburn world.
Proof, and they're sitting on Harry Reid's desk, and we find it very frustrating that the Senate has not been able to get the work done.
I thought he asked about the Surgeon General, that because see Harry Reid didn't keep the Surgeon General from getting that was the NRA sending word down from on high that Mitch McConnell would wake up with a horse's head in his bed if he let that. Guy was kind of wrong color, too. I mean, it had one of those unpronounceable South Asian names or something, didn't he? Right. No. It had nothing to do with any of that. It had everything in the world to do with the fact that, he had dared suggest that maybe when children get killed with guns in the home, that it should be treated as a public health problem. Never mind. Go fly away. Go fly away, Marsha. So, as you can see, yes, Carol, you are so right. Marsha is off her meds. Yeah, what is this bipartisan of which she speaks?
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
No, bipartisan does not mean that a couple of coal state Democratic mugwumps voted along with you. Bipartisan is when, like, a huge, at least a significant plurality of the other side of the governing body. No. So I have filibustered the first 1 hour and 13 minutes of the program away. Let's make it possible for some folks to add to the conversation radio nature of the conversation. Before going to break, through a couple of announcements. Kate just wrote in from out on the front range. You know, she's been involved with the rural access medical clinic movement. And she just wrote in, a reminder to folks in the Seattle-Tacoma area, there is a free clinic at the Seattle Center October 23rd through 26th. So that would be Thursday through Sunday. Remote area medical will provide free dental, vision, medical, and women's health services. Go to ramusa.org for further details. We've been working for years to get the clinic in this area. Kate says, unfortunately, I won't be able to work this clinic, but this is exciting news to the RAM organization. So if you are in need of medical care, because, you know, not a lot of dental's covered, not vision, no. So dental, vision, medical, and women's health services are available October 23rd, 26th through the 26th at the Seattle Center. If you know someone who needs it, please tell them. If you need it, please go. Because we still have a whole lot of uninsured people in this country. We have a lot of people who can't get the dental work they need. We have a lot of people who can't get the vision care that they need. And medical and women's health services, we still have far too many uninsured, uncovered, untreated in this country. Please. October 23rd through the 26th, the Seattle Center, C-Center is S-E-A dot, so I presume that Kate's abbreviating. I don't know. But thank you, Kate, for I was actually thinking about that earlier, and you read my tiny mind. I appreciate it. Let's get to the conversation radio portion of the program. I will note here an hour and 16 minutes into the program that Robert's $150 up over down under challenge is on the table this evening, and it is of vital importance. And it is thus far the only respondent to it is Anthony, and we need another 14 people at $10 a piece or another 140 people at $1 a piece in order to meet that challenge and help us with fundraising through a week that's going to see me away from the microphone for 2 days. So please, if you haven't lately, this would be a great time to jump in. It's a chance for you to double your money. And we'll knock out 2 days of fundraising in one night if y'all will respond. The contribute tab is there at headonradionetwork.com, or you can just go and log into your own PayPal account and use Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, at gmail.com and click I'm sending money to friends and family, and that way they'll waive your transfer fees. But either way, we need to meet this challenge this evening, and it's a little nerve-wracking when we're an hour and 17 minutes into a program, and we haven't as yet. So break time, and your thoughts, your calls to either 304-574-8178 or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. Or on the Gizmo line, area code 304-663-HORN. Area code 304-663-4676 gets you right lickety-split into the program. This is Conversation Radio, listener-supported. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Cause you'll only sing the blues down in Dallas. Take it from me, don't go and cry.
That's almost a self-writing parody. From his classic album, A1A, Jimmy Buffett and Dallas. If you ever get the chance to go to Dallas, take it from me, pass it by, because you'll only get Ebola down in Dallas. Take it from me. Don't go and die. Ay, ay, ay. So, yeah, it really is. It's Moran Monday on the Horn. Lines are open, 304-663-HORN. 304-663-4676 is the Gizmo line number over on the Skype line, 304-574-8178, or Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N. And thank you very much to Henry. Thank you, Henry, very kindly for jumping in and responding to Robert's Up Over Down Under 20th of the Month Challenge. Henry just jumped into the fray. And that takes us down to $120 to go. 12 folks, 10 bucks a piece, something like that. We can get there, and you can double your contribution that easy. Oh, God. Okay. This just in via Twitter from our buddy Isaac. Let's have a quick look and see. It doesn't look promising. Of course, I tend to flinch at anything that begins Governor Bobby Jindal. Jindal, whose name is not Bobby, has ordered the state of Louisianistan to begin tracking Ebola. According to The Hill, Louisiana Governor Bobby, they insist on continuing to print his name as Bobby, Jindal, is ordering state officials to implement new procedures to track travel to Ebola-stricken countries. State officials are authorized and directed to develop policies and reporting mechanisms for public employees and students, faculty, and staff of institutions of higher learning to report travel to the countries identified by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention as having a threat of contracting the Ebola virus disease. That's according to his executive order. It goes on to state, and this is the fun part. Thank you, Isaac. The federal government to date has failed to implement protections at the national level to prevent the entry of the Ebola virus disease into the United States of America. In the article, Governor Piyush Jindal is once again identified as a, and I really can't help but laugh, a potential 2016 presidential contender. I think in the last straw poll of batshit crazy right-wing nuts that was taken, he came in right behind Alf Landon or something. Because genius, right? Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hello, you're on the air. Now, dang it, it was working earlier. You know what's fun? Having an engineering staff is fun. All right, let's try it this way. Hey, welcome to the program. Really? Hello? Wait, this one I got. This one I can sort out. All better.
Hello?
Hello, hey, Edward.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. Let me turn my radio off.
I'm still getting used to how to run the gizmo box.
Oh, well, I didn't know whether you'd heard or not, but they've had a big oil spill down in Louisiana.
It's in the stack, and yeah, it drains into the only natural lake in the entire state of Texas. Is that correct?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't hear that much of it.
Caddo Lake.
Oh my! I know where Caddo Lake is. Damn. Oh well.
That's 4,000 barrels of crude that dumped into a bayou in Louisiana.
Mercy me. Well, I thought I'd let you know if you hadn't heard about it.
So far, they've counted.
By the way, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so far they've counted up 84 dead animals. They say that they have kept it from entering Caddo Lake. If it applies to Ebola, I guess it applies to everything else. Whether you choose to believe them or not, it's up to anybody who's affected.
Well, I quarantined my cats, and because they said your animals might be carriers of Ebola, but they were not abused. And then I found that cats don't carry it. And it's not funny, the whole thing.
No, it's not. But you know what's even unfunnier is the general freakout. Wouldn't you agree, Edward?
Absolutely. I mean, people don't even want to go to the store.
Really? Okay. Wait. I think this just turned into a legitimate journalism report, Edward. You and I usually josh and kid around, but people don't even want to go to the store? What?
I've heard, but it hasn't bothered me, but I've heard other people, they don't even want to go to the store because something might be contaminated. You know how you can get contaminated by going to a grocery store.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, the idea that a teacher from Maine would be prevented from teaching school because she had been to Dallas, Texas.
This is getting to be rather insane, the whole thing. More people die of the flu than they do of this.
You know what? I guess it's a matter of just try to explain that to the people who have lost their tiny little lizard brains.
Well, I guess so. Oh, by the way, this is sort of a little weird thing, like I like to come up with every now and then. you mentioned Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Stillwater. I used to go up and down the I-35. Many years ago, from Dallas to Denton to Oklahoma City and on north to Wichita, Kansas, and there was this great big billboard advertising a restaurant, and it advertised and said the Red Angus Steakhouse, and I'm sure it was the guys from Stillwater, Oklahoma State that did it.
Oh, no, I think
they,
I see this
they
coming.
They kept whiting out the G.
Had to. All I had to do was channel.
I wouldn't eat there because I'd had Montezuma's revenge and I didn't want it again.
No.
I think the sign is gone now. And they have another great big sign outside of Oklahoma City. And I never figured that one out. It was just immense. And on it said, "Magnify Jesus." What does that mean?
I don't know, but I don't think he'd like it any more than the ants did.
Whatever. Take care. I'll get off the phone and let some people more serious than I talk to you.
Well, but thank you for the real world update, Edward. I really appreciate it. Take care.
You take care and watch out when you go to the grocery store.
All right.
Oh, well. Bye-bye.
Bye. Edward calling from Dallas. That really was news to me. Now let's try the Skype line again. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello some more.
Hello.
Yeah. You're right here.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, right here.
I can't, doesn't sound like I'm on.
Do you hear me?
This is Carl from Western Mass.
Carl, do you hear me talking?
Yeah, I hear you talking. It just doesn't sound like it used to.
You're on.
A little bit different.
You're on.
Okay. Hey, I keep seeing all that stuff about the Ebola and all these science deniers. They should be denied science. Anything science. We should start with their cars. First take away their airbags, then their seatbelts, and then their safety glass. And just let them drive around. They'll do themselves in, you know.
I just wonder about, then again, you have to wonder about the people they hurt anyway.
That's true too.
I think we should just make an announcement now, Carl, that says, listen, if you deny global warming, if you deny evolution, when we come up with the Ebola vaccine, you can't have it.
Yes, that's a good one.
No flu vaccine either. No pneumonia vaccine. It's all based on evolutionary science. You can't have one.
This that Republicard friend of mine, I think I told you about him before.
Yeah.
His daughter's 13 or 14 years old. He wouldn't give her the three vaccine there for
the human papillomavirus?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, even after he's seen my girlfriend go through the cancer treatment, she had stage B at a young age. And even after seeing that, he's, unless somebody just recently convinced him in the last 9 months and I don't know about it, she hasn't gotten the vaccine.
And is this because it will make her sexually promiscuous? That's usually what the right wingers use.
He listens to Bill O'Reilly. That's who he listens to, Rush and Bill O'Reilly, Fox News, and it's just, he just vomits out what they shove in his head during the day. And then, you know, it just vomits out. I know where he gets his info from. I've been paying attention enough. I could talk to somebody for 5 minutes and realize if they're talking to Limbaugh, Beck, Hannity, and Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones.
Well, Alex Jones is easy.
Alex Jones is easy,
Carl, because they talk like this.
Well, I mean, just when you hear the FEMA death, you know, the FEMA camps, and
right.
Look at that plane spraying, you know, and right away you could hear them. Oh, you could hear them. And it's just a stick. That's all it is. People don't realize. That's just what, you know, it's just like W.C. Fields with "Get away from me, kid."
You bother me.
They just found another stick. You know, they just found a way to make a few bucks, and then they make quite a few bucks. How much does Alex Jones make a year on his crap that he sells? You know, I wish somebody would find that out and, you know, put that out. Rush makes, what, 50, 60? Glenn Beck's probably, what, 35?
What, millions?
Yeah. Alex Jones must make 10. I've never really heard how much he makes, but Beck, I've heard his. And everybody knows Limbaugh's.
Right.
And, like, I heard Alex Jones say on his program that the flu vaccine makes your junk small. At least that's what he keeps saying.
Carl, now, dang it, stop. You can't just do that. You can't just throw that out there and say that and walk past like it. No, the flu vaccine, huh?
No, I mean, it's a joke.
Okay. I thought this guy really believed
that. That'll make your junk small. That'll make your genitals small. That's the excuse that he gives his wife.
Whew. Wait. Oh, this is so devious. When we come up with an Ebola vaccine, we have to spread it around. I have to think this through because this is really diabolical. When we come up with an Ebola vaccine, we have to spread it around to all the right-wingers that the Ebola vaccine makes you gay. When the Ebola vaccine comes out, we have to spread it around that the Ebola vaccine turns you into a gay Muslim.
Oh, brother. I don't know if they'd go for that. They might. I mean, I've heard these people come up with the vapor trails.
Oh, chemtrails?
Chemtrails.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Some of the stuff. Lunar landing.
Yeah, fake.
You know, I hear those, and it's just like, oh, God, these people. But can't beat them up because you can't kick the shit out of stupid. Or stupid out of the...
Okay. See, the idea starts, and then it begins to spread around. I just got it from Lottie in the chat room. No. When we get an Ebola vaccine, and maybe we should spread this about the flu vaccine and every other vaccine, that it's made from the blood of gay Muslim men.
Well, just the gay men. Just gay men.
No. Let's add an extra layer of prophylaxis to this. And that way, you know, all of us normal people that aren't completely consumed by our lizard brains, we'll go get our vaccine and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And then all the right wing weirdos won't. And then it'll be a really nice place to live.
Well, a lot better with them out them around.
You see how it works? Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, that's just devastatingly geniusy.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, Carl, you have yourself a good evening.
All right. You
sorry, about, sorry about the technical confusion at the beginning there, buddy.
That's all right.
All right,
that's
bye now.
All right, bye.
Always good to hear from Carl in Western Mass. What a beautiful part of the country that is. So, yeah, lines open. The Horn Gizmo line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. The Horn Skype line, 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid, Horn. There's a lot of different ways to jump into the process. Oh my God! I just got an update from Carol, and I had to pop over and check the chat room. Scary Ebola is in the chat room. Bruka 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 bruka. But it is Moran Monday, and we do have us some non-Ebola Morans. Oh, here's something fun. You know, I get a lot more, well, with the exception. Go back a week, by the way. Go back a week in the Truth Out files. Will Rivers Pitt had a beautiful take on the spam fest that this election season has been, coming not from just Republicans, but from Democrats in particular. And I have seen some absolutely beautiful exemplars of this. Let me just hop into my mail real quick. Ta-da. Subject line, personal request from Nick's iPad. Friends, I'm running for Congress to fight for the great people of West Virginia. Nick Rahal. Let's see. Hi, friend. Things are taking an interesting turn here. Suddenly races in Nebraska are coming into play. This is from Matt Thornton, House Majority PAC. Nick Casey says, we heart you, thanks. Derek's laptop says, friends, every donation we get in goes, and I mean, these are coming in minute by minute by minute. More Nick Casey, Casey HQ, House Majority PAC, James Carville? Let's see, Nick Rahal, Derek Scarborough, Jess Allen, Kirsten Gillibrand. The scary ones are the funnest. Listen, friend, there isn't an easy way to say this, so I will say it as simply as possible. We can't afford to miss raising the additional $40,129 before the FEC deadline at midnight. If we do, it could cost us incumbent seats across the country. link for donate $3 instantly, donate $15 instantly, donate $25 instantly, or donate another amount instantly. Or how about apparently Greg Claus, nephew of Santa? Friends, here's what we know. Yesterday, Alex Mooney purchased 550 points of TV airtime with paren exclamation point close paren. Why the parens? Nick Ray Hall, reply requested at Nick Ray Hall, Nick Casey, Nick Ray Hall, media at Nick Casey, action at Nick Casey. It goes on, Nick Ray Hall again. Day in and day out, and it's absolutely disgusting. Meanwhile, yeah, they needed to raise $49,000. Kind of makes me feel sort of pitiful. We need to raise $120,000. And so far only Anthony and Henry are in that hopper. If we can raise another $120,000, there's $150,000 sitting there ready to match it via Robert's Up Over Down Under Challenge for this, the 20th day of October 2014. Oh, by the way, note coming in from Texas Betsy, the seventh graders are scared of Ebola, but not scared enough to, you know, wash their hands before they eat. I mean, really. Note coming in from Steve in China. Hey, Bob, when have we heard any of the usual suspects mention the USPHS? I haven't heard one of these highly compensated purveyors of panic so much as mentioned, even in passing, the primary federal agency charged with preparing for and responding to public health threats such as Ebola. United States Public Health Service? There is a dedicated corps of uniformed health professionals already on the payroll, and the only thing lacking at this stage of the crisis are adequate numbers of support personnel, clinics, and quarantine stations. You know, like the ones they used to oversee a century or more ago, to provide physical exams, disseminate timely information to the public, conduct inspections for possible outbreaks. Oh, right, I forgot. We're living in a time of terrorism. Rationality, organization, and medicine just don't cut it anymore. Anyway, USPHS, established 1798. Pretty good deal, actually. Yeah, no kidding. Could Bill Frist maybe run that? Goodness. And by the way, I had a note come in from Steve in China Friday evening during Friday on the Front Porch, and I noticed it too late to share it with you. It deserves sharing even at this hour. Steve in China noting, the terra incognita that is the African continent, everything that is inadmissible or incomprehensible about its ancient history and numerous peoples, is going to remain that way until we start to take responsibility for the vast neglect which the West's exploitation and humiliation of its natural, cultural, and human resources actually represents. What a magnificent and loaded sentence that is. Because it set me to thinking about positive interactions with any countries on the African continent. And that includes, of course, Egypt, or as the ancient Egyptians referred to it, the land of Kem, K-E-M. Let no longer the name of Moses be spoken in the land of Egypt. He would have said Kem. The Egyptian civilization did arise brilliantly and had to fend off attackers almost from the very beginning. Oh, hey, look! right on time. An email from Nick for WV. Friends, we can't emphasize enough just how close this race is. I can't emphasize enough how critical it is that we actually meet fundraising challenges when they're out there, because it's a chance to double, well, never mind. You know where the PayPal interface is, headonradionetwork.com. But no, it got me thinking. So eventually there were two great civilizations that arose on the North African coast and down the Nile, of course, one being Egypt, the other being Carthage. White Europe ran into both of those, and well, first it was the successors to Alexander's empire, the Ptolemies, and they're the ones who wind up ending with Cleopatra. She was no Egyptian. She was the first queen of Egypt to actually bother to speak Egyptian in about 300, 400 years. But no, she was of the Ptolemaic dynasty, which meant she was essentially Greek. So there's that. Then the Romans, and they conquer Egypt. Let's see, who else? Well, at one point in time, the Achaemenids, the Persian Empire, had conquered Egypt. The Romans pulled an absolute nasty on Carthage, including but not limited to the Third Punic War, in which Cato the Elder was heard to walk around. Hey, good morning, Cato. Carthago delenda est. Carthage must be destroyed. If you ever want a historical parallel, the historical parallel between our Second Iraq War and the Roman Third Punic War is almost a dead parallel. And then we have to wait a little while. And you get, what, Prince Henry the Navigator and the Portuguese? And they start, you know, the European naval technology arises or grows or advances to the point where they can do a little bit more than cross the Mediterranean. And the Portuguese begin working their way down the west side of the African continent and around. And those are not exactly positive interactions along the way. The Spanish grow incredibly jealous, and that's how we wind up with Columbus Day. The Portuguese colonized all the way around the west coast of Africa, around the Horn, and up the East African coast until they could finally run across to the Indian subcontinent. The French conquer Algeria. The British, the Dutch, and then the British and South Africa and Rhodesia. Which is now Zimbabwe. And the Belgians. Dear God, the Belgians. One of the most brutal genocidal maniacs ever to be involved in African so-called colonization. The King of Belgium. And the millions upon millions upon millions of Congolese who were murdered in a slow-rolling genocide over the course of a generation. So that's what I started thinking about when I read that sentence that Steve wrote. Until we start, Africa is going to remain that way until we start to take responsibility for the vast neglect which the West's exploitation and humiliation of its natural, cultural, and human resources actually represents. If you can't find three otherwise educated people in a room who can unhesitatingly name 10 countries on that continent, much less say anything interesting or pertinent about a few of them, it is only because a great collective sort of denial concerning the so-called developed world's hand in effectively erasing Africa's entire existence continues to this day. Okay, I'll take the test. Egypt, Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, Niger, Nigeria, Sierra Leone, Liberia, Guinea, South Africa, Zimbabwe, Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somalia. Okay, I think I think I could probably say something passably interesting. But yeah, see, there's Texas Betsy says I can't even place 10 on a map. You're way out in front, Betsy. Way out in front. It is only because a great collective sort of denial concerning the so-called developed world's hand in effectively erasing Africa's entire existence continues to this day. How inconvenient it is for the West to acknowledge the criminal neglect that produces a perpetual tragedy of economics and politics, which also happens to be the very origin of our species. How perplexing, literally, that this same continent should frighten us to political and practical incapacity with the unseemly insistence of its terrible pestilences. If we make it through our collective psychosis of culture and epidemic being misconstrued as the same entity, that is, maybe we are the walking, or rather waking, dead, Steve in China says. If we can make it through our collective psychosis of culture and epidemic being misconstrued as the same entity. And I think that's a brilliant and valid point. Africa's the continent, not the countries, generally, not specifically. Africa's poverty is an induced poverty because there are vast, vast tracts of uncountable wealth. Even as we speak, oil hydrocarbon extraction companies are going hand over fist to rip the wealth out of the ground in places like Nigeria. One suspects that one of the problems Liberia has is that it's run out of stuff for Western exploiters to steal. Wow. So, it's about 5 minutes before the hour. We should probably take a break. You know, I think I would have to hate myself if I was to play Toto's Africa. Just, no, can't. Just can't. So anyway, a break coming up. We are desperately in search of 12 people at $10 a piece to help us reach the fundraising challenge issued by Robert in Australia. His Up Over Down Under challenge for this, the 20th of October, that he brings along every month, rain or shine. PayPal interface is at headonradionetwork.com, or you can just log in to your own PayPal account and go that way. Yeah, Texas Betsy pointing out Liberia was in a civil war most of the time I was teaching at the high school, had lots of kids from there. Don't know if it ever resolved. Kind of depends on how you measure resolution of a civil war, doesn't it? All right, break time, and hey, light up the phones, really. I am unused to filibustering my way through an entire Moran Monday. Robert in Morgantown pointing out, hey, you're getting the same emails I am. I got the breaking news email from DCC.org. Oh, absolutely. It breaks about every 15 seconds as far as I can tell. Yeah. News just broke. Well, put it back together again. All right. Little break. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
For a great heart to stand me by underneath the African sky. A great heart to stand me by. Thank you.
Johnny Clegg and Savuka. Searching for the spirit of the great art. This is Moran Monday on the Horn, and yes, we do. Oh, there are many Morans. Yeah, there's a Bible verse about that or something. But speaking of Bible verses, let's come on. I'm not gonna be here Wednesday. Another program note, late in case you missed it early on. No programs Wednesday or Thursday. Got to go and pick up the boy, and also got to take the boss to the doctor. This is fun. Over at the Christian Post, they have an interview with child star Kirk Cameron, who is now an unbearably pushy, fundy evangelical. And he wanted to tell people all about what Halloween really means to him. Ha. Yeah. In this Christian Post interview, he said, and apparently Christian Post is a real site. Once again, I can't find any direct evidence that it's some sort of a spoof. Kirk Cameron on Halloween, Christians should have the biggest party on the block. Well, okay, all right, because it's, and he says in the article that that's because the origin, the real origins of Halloween have to do with the Roman Catholic tradition of All Souls and All Saints Days. And he made his point by speaking thusly. When you go out on Halloween and see all people dressed in costumes and see someone in a great big bobblehead Obama costume with great big ears and Obama face, are they honoring him or poking fun? They are poking fun at him. Because way back when, Christians would dress up in costumes as the devil, ghosts, goblins, and witches precisely to make the point that those things were defeated and overthrown by the resurrected Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. The costumes poke fun at the fact that the devil and other evils were publicly humiliated by Christ at his resurrection. Really? So Christ, Jesus Christ was into public humiliation. We had that little talk about how much Jesus wasn't wearing while he was busy getting crucified. So what is this? Got you back? That's what the scriptures say. That he publicly humiliated the devil when he triumphed over power and principality and put them under his feet. So remember, when you're out there mocking President Obama, you know, because he's a Kenyan Muslim and everything, just remember, you're doing it because Jesus wants, So there's a one-to-one correlation between ghosts and goblins and devils and witches and Barack Obama? Is that, oh, shut up and go home, Kirk. Yeah. Oh, my word. And then, because it is Moran Monday, really is, it really wouldn't be fun to do this without a little, I mean, Morans, firearms, right? Yeah. This out of the Houston Chronicle. Apparently, there is an area of Houston known as Cleveland. Don't ask. I can't help. We'll have to rely on a local for this one. But in the Cleveland area of Houston, the sheriff's deputies had to come a-running on the double quick. At least, and this from Mihir Zaveri's account at cron.com. At least one person was shot at a large house party in Ames, which apparently, okay, this is in, by the way, somebody light a candle or throw a rubber chicken at or a whoopee cushion or something, the altar of the goddess of irony. This happened in Liberty County, Texas. Liberty. Sit, Liberty, sit. At least one person was shot at a large house party in Ames when several men got upset. Man, I think we're talking about some booze and testosterone overload here. When several men got upset, you didn't put the hockey puck away, did you? Good. When several men got upset after losing a game of beer pong. This information having been released by the Liberty County Sheriff's Office. It was around 1:20 in the morning Sunday when, Jesus, I mean, she was working hard on this one. It was around 1:20 in the morning Sunday when the Liberty County Sheriff's deputy showed up to 207 Tebow Street. And upon inquiry, witnesses described to the sheriff's deputy that about five guys from around Cleveland had run from the house and started shooting at people at the party. Oh, really? Get the hockey puck. After they lost a game of beer pong. Oh, beer pong, you know, with the ping pong ball and the cups and the kaboop and drank. And, you know, sometimes there are the more esoteric rules that you can't point at anybody. You got to use your elbow to, or else it's a foul and you got to drink too. And 24-year-old Decorous Rucker and Chris Hackett were allegedly among the shooters, according to witnesses. A little bit later, over to Kingwood Hospital, Rucker shows up with a gunshot wound in his leg and said he had been shot in the Cleveland area. Little journalism note to Mihir Zaveri. You already said he was shot in the leg, not the Cleveland area. Because by God, that hurts when you get shot in your Cleveland area. Oh, okay, thank you, Carol. That's just social Darwinism, Bob, not gun violence. Deza Jackson from around Dayton. Around Dayton, not Dayton. So apparently Dayton and Cleveland are both in... this is getting more confusing. Shot at the party. In stable condition. Oh, that's interesting to know. Texas Betsy pointing out Cleveland, Texas is inside Tom DeLay's old district. So maybe there was a little bug spray being huffed along the way. We don't know. Sheriff's deputies are still trying to identify three other people who were with the suspected shooters, and the investigation of the incident is ongoing. Suspects were alleged to have fled the scene in a silver four-door 2006 Buick. And they've even got the license tag number, so this shouldn't take too terribly long. But in America, what? I mean, do you allege cheating? I think you had a rigged ping pong ball. Stranger. Uh-huh. We got rules about putting spin on the ping pong ball here in around Dayton, around Cleveland. Liberty County. We got rules. We got rules. St. Vietnam. Wolverines! But of course, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of beer pong players. Because otherwise, Obama will come along with his jackbooted thugs and put it right down on your little old neck. And then where are you going to be? Robert in Australia pointing out, hey, Bob, various companies keep trying to push Halloween on us here in Australia, but no one pays any attention. Some people might have a costume party, but that's about it. No one cares about it here in Oz. Most people go to church on Sundays, and that's about it for religion. Thank dog that most of those evangelical churches like Hillsong, see child sexual abuse, while they make a lot of noise, don't have any real impact. Lucky you, because, well, I mean, Robert, if y'all get any more American-ish, what with coal is good for humanity, Abbott and everything, you're not as far away as you think you are. Apparently, it is easier for right-wing conservatism to travel all the way to Australia from the United States than it is for Ebola to travel from Liberia to the United States, with arguably much worse results. Now, I don't want to hear anybody demonizing Kyle here. By the way, I did get some pronunciation lessons not too long back from Robert, and I really appreciate them. I will never say all the syllables in Canberra again. Canberra. Right? Am I close, Robert? Am I close? And the air conditioner is apparently something on the order of Eggdisha. 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 I'm still working on that one. That was a little bit tough. Well, daggummit, you gotta stay on the line if you want to make a call to the program. I was coming to you. But anyway, we're still having a lovely evening in the Horn chat room. Scary Ebola is still in the room. Lots of muahahahahaha. Anyway, if you want to engage in some conversation, you are more than welcome to area code 304-574-8178 or on the Gizmo line, area code 304-663-HORN, 663-4676. Works nicely that way. And, of course, Skype to Skype is always free and simply Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, first thing you're going to have to do is turn down the volume in the background.
I just did. That's why I think I might have been the unknown caller you just referred to.
You might have been.
Something cut me off. I was listening to, sounded like a past program or something that you were talking about, and then it quit. And the line went dead.
Oh, darn.
So, anyway, this is Bill in Helena, Montana.
Hey, Bill, how are you?
Well, I just got back in from checking the trip wires around my humble abode for the Ebola-carrying, head-lopping ISIS hordes that are going to come by. And as soon as they get up the Helena Valley, boy, I'll be ready for them. I've got my four.
Hey, it's gonna be hell in Montana and Helena for the head lopping Ebolers.
I tell you, it's a big enough place that won't keep them out, but you can at least see them coming.
Golly Moses! Please tell me, Bill, please tell me that there aren't people freaking out in Montana. Of course there are people freaking out in Montana about Ebola. You've got right-wingers up there, too, right?
Well, if there are people here in Montana that are freaking out about Ebola, they're not people that I normally associate with, or that would, you know what I mean? I don't think so. I haven't heard any of the craziness like the, you know, Mammy and Pappy Yoakum school and all that stuff. But no, everybody just seems to kind of shrug it off, which is refreshing.
Thank God for that, because we need, honest to God, Bill, New Jersey, Maine, I mean, I can understand the freak out in Mississippi Stan. I think there'd be something wrong with America if people in Mississippi Stan didn't freak out. But Maine? New Jersey? We had our own little freak out here in West Virginia last week. I wouldn't be quite so complacent as it sounds like you are.
Oh, I'm not being complacent, Bob. It's just from what I see and what I hear around up here. There's, you know, that's one of the reasons why I called tonight. I'm not mocking President Obama at all, but I wish he had an ounce of leadership. And him and the White House are missing a golden opportunity, in my opinion, for a Kennedy-esque man on the moon moment with regards to this Ebola and all the...
You mean, like, we're America, we can handle this, please be calm?
No, it's like, we're America, and by God, we're going to find out, we're going to figure this thing out. You know?
Yeah.
I want Congress to appropriate half of the trillions that's missing from the Pentagon budget to the National Institutes of Health, and let's begin to get there. It took us 10 years, and it would be like the Kennedy thing. You know, in 10 years, we're going to have it.
Yeah, or less. I mean, I think this is...
The man's not a leader,
I hate to say it. This is not rocket science. But
there was a program on PBS. God, when was it? I think it was last week. I'm sure you can find it. It was a NOVA program on Ebola, and the only thing that really sticks out in my mind is there's a fella doing research, been doing it for a long time, using tobacco plants to cultivate, I guess is the right word, a compound that prevents the Ebola virus from entering the cell wall of whatever it's going after.
Wow. Well, that would be the most useful. That would be the most useful application of the tobacco plant in a very, very long time.
How ironic, huh? Isn't that? Yes.
It could be good for the tobacco farmers.
Well, that was what hit me, is the guy was saying he's been doing it for years. He's figured it out. They've got the Ebola virus has something on the outside of it that is in contact with a cell in the body to go right through that cell wall. And apparently their thing was, we've done it on the scale, very small scale. I mean, the guy looked like he was working in his basement, you know. But if he could scale it up, and we just spend how much, $500 million to bomb Syria?
Couple of million a day. And see, of course, now that I know, every time we launch a cruise missile, and they have tremendous, devastating, explosive impact, Bill. But every time we launch a cruise missile, I think of it in terms of what goes on here in Central Appalachia. Because, for instance, one good explosive charge on a mountaintop removal site is the equivalent of about the explosive force of some 40 cruise missiles. A little explosion is 20. So, well, you know, kind of let that one sink in. But, I mean, like the experimental drugs that they were using with Ebola are apparently very slow to, it takes a long time to make them because they're really not scaled up to make a bunch of it because they hadn't figured out a way to make a buck off of it or so. I always see the profit motive hiding back in the weeds somewhere.
Oh, you know? I'm sure that's why this fella that's on that PBS, on that NOVA program, that's what he said. He said it needs to be scaled up. That's all that it's waiting for, is to be scaled up and, you know, go through the human trial stuff. And I don't know why the hell, I mean, I don't want the damn drug companies to get a hold of it. Because then you're guaranteeing yourself profit motive.
See, that brings up a very interesting point in history. Was it Jonas Salk who came up with the polio vaccine and gave it to the world for free?
My point exactly, Bob. That is Obama. Obama is missing his Jonas Salk moment. He's missing it. The Congress is missing it. The country is missing it. That is my point.
And at least in part because the money that the government used to spend on things like drug research, you know, real noble human kind of brave, you know, stride boldly into the future kind of stuff. We can't do that anymore because the Republican Party hollers, deficits! What about the deficits? We'll go broke! Right?
Well, that's true, but I don't know if Jonas Salk thought he was being all that altruistic when he was doing it. You know, as it turns out, he was a savior for a lot of people. And look at how long the polio thing lasted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a scourge.
Yeah, I don't think anybody, you know, he's the president of the United States, not a wizard. Nobody's saying, you know, hey, you do that. But to say, for instance, that we need a functioning government. See, that's where I get to, Bill. These little buzzword bullshit slogans that the right wing likes to throw around like beads at a Mardi Gras parade when there's, you know, nothing really out there on the horizon. You know, we need small limited government. Well, you know, congratulations, Dallas. Here's your small limited government. A government that wasn't small and wasn't limited and had the budgetary ability to do what it needs to do might have come up with something that would solve this by now, by the way of a vaccine. Once everybody's vaccinated, we can send whoever needs to go to Liberia and Sierra Leone and Guinea and points elsewhere and start vaccinating like crazy and eliminate this thing for future generations. But no, these dumb bastards want some small, limited government.
Well, that is true, Bob, but I don't hear that same argument, the same thing you just said. I don't hear it from Obama. I don't hear it from any Democrat.
Well,
I don't hear it from any Republican.
That's because, you know, I miss him so bad, Bart Kopp. You know, he'd start these things
where he'd say,
the Democrats had any spine, ...
Thank
and
you.
Then he would immediately type, oh, why do I bother? You know, the Democrats can't say this because somebody on Fox or CNN or ABC or NBC, you know, whatever, would say, well, you know, that was very uncivil of them. Well, dadgum, do you want civil or do you want solutions?
Well, he's a lame duck president. He can say whatever the heck he wants. It doesn't matter. And it just might catch on. That's the thing I think. It might just, you know, get a bunch of people thinking, well, holy crap, finally we got somebody that will tell the damn truth. You know, instead of prevaricating, facilitating, establishing a czar and setting up a committee to do the investigation.
Well, you know, the whole Ebola czar thing. You know, Ebola czar the magnificent. Remember, you have to say something. It's got to be Ebola czar the something.
All hail the Ebola czar.
Right. Ebola's are the great and terrible. Quail and quake at his magnificence. Bring me the broom. Anyway, no, that was, you know, that's responsive politics. That's politics playing defense. And I think part of it is that there is some tiny hope being held out that if nothing else, we will hang on to the Senate, we being the people who are sane, in December in November. And so we can't have anybody running around there. I mean, there's Republicans out there that are, well, it was Mitch McConnell, who used a soundbite from Chuck Todd, for God's sakes, in a commercial after Chuck Todd said that Alison Lundergan Grimes disqualified herself from being senator from Kentucky because she wouldn't just say, "Well, I voted for Obama." That stuff's out. That stuff's...
She should have, if she voted for him, what the heck? Tell the truth. Don't look like some squirmy little weasel.
Well, you know? See, I think there's a non-weaselish way to do that, and here it is. Here it is. When that gets put out there, because you have to see that kind of thing coming, you know, if let's face it, it's Kentucky stand. If Mitch McConnell could get away with it, he would allege that she is sleeping with a black man, okay? And a whole bunch of Kentucky stand voters that say, "Well, I ain't voting for her. We ain't going to have no muddying up of the races." And it's time for me to go and pick up my dry cleaning. I think my sheet and hood, my sheet and pillowcase are clean. Got to have it for the next Clavering meeting. No, but the way you handle that is you say, "Listen here. There are X number of thousand Kentuckians who have health care now who didn't have it before, and they got it because of Obamacare. There are X number of Kentuckians who are alive today who would not be without Obamacare. Somebody's daddy went to work today and came home from work instead of being dead. Somebody's grandma made biscuits last Sunday morning before church instead of being dead. So you're goddamn right I voted for Barack Obama. Hey, Grammy, what's for supper?" And then Mitch McConnell just has to shut them up. Wouldn't you love to see a fight back response like that?
I would love it, Bob. That's my whole point for I don't know how long. There's nobody want. I would have loved to heard her say, "It's none of your damn business who I voted for."
Well, and she kind of did that, but she also. I mean, these are. Look, let's understand something, because I want her to beat Mitch McConnell just because I want Mitch McConnell gone. But
I'd rather want her to beat Mitch McConnell because she's a better person than McConnell. Well, I mean, she's
that's kind of where I'm headed, because see, she's another one of those pro-coal Democrats.
Well,
she loves, she's made it clear, she loves her some mountaintop removal. And I even saw a clip of her saying, "We've got to protect the export market."
Well, but Kentucky's, how much coal does Kentucky get ship?
Right smart amount.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that can't see past their own wallet.
Bill, there aren't any more, and that's part of the problem with this whole process, is that you got people out there who lost coal jobs. They really, really did. But they didn't lose them to the EPA, and they didn't lose them to Obama. They lost them to the companies that swore up and down that they loved them. And then they bought them some new D9 Caterpillars and a drag line. And the next thing you know, you didn't need 100 people on that in that mine anymore. You needed 12 people on it.
What does it take to get those people motivated to vote for somebody other than Mitch McConnell?
I don't know. They may. I mean, she's up 3 or 4 points. It's all within the margin of error. But, I mean, if you want to talk about something desperately frustrating, the fact that the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee pulled its money out of Kentucky with the race the way that it is right now, that's infuriating.
Yes, I heard that, and I just, it was a facepalm. Just, I couldn't, you know, what happened to the, well, we all know what happened to it. But I'm going to ask the question anyway. What happened to the 50-state strategy of Howard Dean?
It got taken out behind the barn and killed by Rahm Emanuel.
That was old Yeller in the shed. You bet, buddy.
Oh, God, you had to go there, didn't you?
Well, sorry.
Here, Yeller!
And nobody said, everybody, I guess, went along with it?
When the DSCC says they're doing it, there's not a lot to, you know, I'm sure Allison Lundergan Grimes didn't say, well, all right, see you, fellas.
Well, no, I'm just saying there's leadership. There's got to be some further up than just them. I mean, the DLC's the parent corporation.
You know what? You would, for all the power it sounds like they wield, you would be shocked to see the headquarters of the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee. I used to walk past it every day in D.C. up on Capitol Hill.
Oh, I'm sure.
It's a little 1890s single, you know, it was probably a single occupancy dwelling once upon a time. It might be 30 feet wide, and it is directly across the street from the Dirksen and Hart Senate office buildings. And you have to remember that the last person who ran it, oh, I can't remember who it was, but they were so proud because they hung on to the Senate with the likes of Joe Manchin and Heidi Heitkamp.
Oh, God.
Right.
Well, I mean, I get embarrassed when I try not to think about it at all. Montana is probably solely responsible for the public option of the ACA not getting even a hearing. I mean, because of our senior senator, Max Baucus, who is now the ambassador to China. Thank God, send him over there. They can keep him.
Well, he's pro-coal. He must be loving the way the air smells and tastes in Beijing.
Well, I hope so. Because I don't know. Conrad Burns, the Republican here,
See, I always get him confused. I have a hard time telling the difference between Conrad Burns and Montgomery Burns from The Simpsons. Excellent.
Montgomery Burns is funny.
Yeah. Release the hounds. Yeah.
I like Grandpa Simpson myself.
I wish I could have seen Treehouse of Horror last night.
I don't have I cut the cable, so I don't.
I'm in the same spot here. I do everything through the miracle of the internet.
No, I still get a pretty good HD TV signal through the air, so. I've got a directional, little tiny thing
over the air signals where I am, have never been worth a damn. Going way back.
Well, it's been that way for a long time up here in Montana. They've always had translators up in the mountains, you know, to bounce to catch the signals and do it around. But with the new digital technology, boy, I don't have any problems. And I get ABC, NBC,
oh, see, that's where that's where my technological knowledge falls off. I thought it was harder to push the HD digital over the air signal than it was to push the old UHF and VHF.
That may be true. When I said I have an HD antenna, it is HD, let's put it this way, it's HD capable, whatever that means. I'm not that technologically advanced. I was so pissed off at all the cable stations about 10 years ago, that I started looking around for an antenna.
Oh, we have an absolute cable. We've got an absolute cable war going on here in West Virginia right now.
Oh, it's happening up here too. My brother worked for Charter Communications, which bought Bresnan, which bought Optum, which bought, and now they're getting bought by Comcast.
Well, what's going on here? We've got an outfit that bought out Charter called Suddenlink. Now, this isn't my cable area. This is across the river, like at Beckley and stuff. And those clowns got into a pissing match with Viacom and dumped all the Viacom channels. So there are people who buy cable in, say, the Beckley market and the Charleston market, which is substantial for West Virginia, who no longer have Comedy Central, but now have, get this, Glenn Beck's The Blaze to replace it. Oh, no, that's what I said. It's like it's a war. My buddy Brian Reznor is hopping mad. He's lost his Comedy Central. He's lost his Jon Stewart and his Stephen Colbert, and it's been replaced. And I was talking to him about it, and I think he was using words I'd never even heard before, or combinations of them. You take away Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, and you replace it with, string of fun words. Glenn Beck. Oh yeah, SpongeBob's gone, replaced with Glenn Beck. Ugh, it's ugly. It's ugly. Bill, it's awful.
That's
good.
That was the point I reached personally. Like I say, it's been more than 10 years ago now. It's probably 15. I just got so sick and tired of Don Imus and Bill O'Reilly, and the whole thing just started going down the tubes.
Yeah, let's remember, whatever cable company you're buying from, if you buy the lowest tier that's nothing but Jesus channels and your local channels, you will get Fox. Now, you want something like MSNBC or Free Speech TV or Al Jazeera or anything else like that? No, baby, you're into another $50 a month at least.
No, I've never been I don't need to see Comedy Central on the day that it's aired. I'm happy with there's enough websites that watch it for me.
Yeah, you can see the pertinent clip.
You can see the clips, and if you want to, you can go to the website and watch the whole thing on the website, but I very rarely do that. John Oliver guy?
Yeah, he's quite good.
Oh, man. He's got that pointy sword wit. He's kind of poke. I just love it. Yeah, he's great. But I don't miss any of that. If I don't know. Maybe I'm just too weird for everybody else.
Oh, no. You're not the only cord cutter out there, Bill. Not by a long shot.
I don't know.
I think I could probably...
There was...
I could probably name five right off the bat.
Yeah.
Well, it has been awful good talking with you, and don't be a stranger.
Oh, okay. Can I mention one more thing?
You sure can.
The reason I called.
Oh, okay.
This whole ISIS and what's left of Iraq and Syria and all that stuff that's going on over there. Does anybody remember Wesley Clark back in, it was before when he was running for president. Wasn't he a presidential candidate in 2007?
Four, maybe.
2000, okay. He gave an interview to Amy Goodman. And just to boil it down as quick as I can, he said that he was working in the Pentagon in 2000, it was before the 2003 Iraq War. He was working in the Pentagon, and a friend of his came up to him and Clark asked the guy, well, you ready to go to Iraq? And the guy looked at, his buddy looked at him and said, it's worse than that. And long story short, his buddy told him, we're going to take out 7 countries in 5 years. Guess what those 7 countries are, Bob?
Well, Iraq, Syria. Give me the other 5.
Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and the big boy, Iran.
So we're kind of down to one to go, right?
Well, I think they had a little bit of a hiccup when the Iraq thing went south. Didn't quite go as they had planned, I think, myself.
But you'll notice in the clip I had of cranky old Grandpa Ron Paul, you'll notice that J.D. Hayworth, once he realized that Ron wasn't gonna go along with his let's shut all the airports down argument, redirected him to talk about the growing terrible danger that is Iran.
Oh, of course, they've been after Iran for a long time. I mean, go back to the 1952, wasn't it? 53.
Yeah, the coup.
The coup that put the Shah in, who made life just wonderful for the Iranians, from what I understand.
Oh, you know? Yeah, the Shah was a real prince.
He was a real prick, and people in this country, I wish they had the institutional memory of some of those people in that area of the world to remember. I mean, and don't tell me the Iranians have forgotten about that. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, they haven't. You know, when our embassy was overrun in the late 70s, very few people recall that not only were they carrying posters of the Ayatollah's face, they were also carrying posters bearing the likeness of Mohammad Mossadegh, who had been the prime minister, legally, dutifully, and democratically elected, who was overthrown by the West in that CIA-led coup.
In the CIA, by the way, who was part of the president that sticks in my gut every time I hear it, but he did say something about the military-industrial complex.
Right.
But that was early on in his administration.
Right, and see, I think the CIA got out of hand really, really quickly because it was less than a month after the assassination of John Kennedy that former President Harry Truman wrote an op-ed in the New York Times or maybe the Washington Post calling for the CIA to be scrapped altogether and rethought from the ground up.
Well, that's got Kennedy killed.
Well, I think it certainly seemed like that was the line of thought that that Harry Truman was pursuing as well shortly after the killing of President Kennedy.
Well, that's, you know, I'm just waiting. I mean, how long are we going to have to wait now? Didn't the CIA just come out here a while back and admit that yes, we did take out Mossadegh?
Oh, there's no question to it. I mean, there's books on it.
Oh, there was a denial. They denied for years. And finally, not too long ago, it's been within a year or two, they finally admitted it.
Well, I mean, it's fairly common knowledge because I was reading a book about it back at the turn of the century.
Yeah. I know, Bob. I'm not saying that it wasn't common knowledge. I'm saying the CIA refused to accept common knowledge.
Oh, they refused.
They refused. Well, your people are nuts. You know, what are you talking about? We wouldn't do.
Yeah, the same way they act about Allende and yeah.
I was just going there.
Yeah.
But anyway, the 7 countries in 5 years thing. I just look at how many of those countries' names are in the news today.
Sure. Yeah,
I mean, how long is it gonna take for them to admit that their plan didn't work? You know,
well, I don't necessarily think that they've given up on it. You know, if they can only get this whole ISIL thing under control, well, you know, it'll be frisbees and wheat checks for everybody.
Well, I think ISIL is the present under the Christmas tree for these nitwits. They're either a Frankenstein monster that got loose, or they are the neocon's wet dream of a gift.
Exactly.
You know? But anyway. Well, so I give you a call and see what you thought.
Oh, I'm awful glad you did. We always have a good conversation.
Are you familiar, by the way, with Fire Sign Theater?
Oh yeah.
I've got one that, well, this last Friday on the front porch thing I was listening to, I think it was Carol, some of you guys got into the pep rally high school spirit thing.
Oh, we've got, yes.
Well, there's a Fire Sign Theater routine that is, it's principal poop at the pep assembly. And it is, I mean, I started thinking about that after I started laughing at you guys. It is, well, I think it's hilarious. I don't know. Maybe some people wouldn't. But I've got an MP3 of it. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I'd love to listen to it. Thank you very much, Bill.
Yeah.
Let me find it real quick. Got to get a weather report. Is it feeling like that time of year yet up Helena Way?
Well, it was 73 this afternoon. Sunny skies, no wind. I smoked a couple of chickens.
You know the trouble with smoking chickens is you got to use something about the size of a jumper cable for a roach clip, and it's hard to keep them lit.
I've got one, Bob. might rain tomorrow a little bit. There's some rain coming in from the west, supposedly, but Helen is on the dry side of the divide, so it usually gets wrung out before it gets over the top of the divide, but. Mid-60s, upper 60s, slight chance of rain.
Yeah, because we were bridge day on Saturday was gray, overcast, with needle mist, and about 49 degrees.
I don't know how unusual this is. I think it can change in a heartbeat. I mean, up here especially. I mean, in fact, there's a place called Rogers Pass, which is kind of north and, west, northwest of Helena. They have the distinction of having the largest temperature drop in the shortest amount of time. And I don't remember the exact, but it dropped like 70 degrees in 20 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was just one of those strange meetings of the air masses in the mountains. And, I don't know, you can Google it. I'm sure, just put Rogers Pass temperature record.
I'm pretty sure
you can find it. But the weather's been great. I think it's a little too warm than what it should be, but I'm glad the climate thing is a hoax, so I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, right, exactly. Bill, have yourself a good evening.
You too, kiddo. We'll talk to you later.
Later now. Bye.
Bye.
Calling from Helena, that's our buddy, Bill. And let's keep it rolling. I think we have another Bill. Is that you, Bill? Hello? Well, dang it. I thought we had Bill for a minute there, but we apparently lost him. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, you got him again.
Okay, very good, very good.
What? Or was it a different Bill?
No, that was you. That was you.
Okay. No, you're getting, you've got to be careful. You're getting hit with a lot of bills. But that's the American way, isn't it?
Well, I don't have to worry about them until they start sending bill collectors.
Yeah, those guys. I had a buddy who worked for a bill collector when he was young. And he would sit and tell me all the stories that they would use on people and try to get an idea where they were working so they could garnish you their wages, you know. And I'm uncollectible. There's no doubt about that. At least for that stuff. Anyhow, you were doing that Ebola thing, it made me think of a song that was out in the 40s of Bola, bola, ball, a penny a pitch. It was some Australian band did it. It was a novelty song.
I never heard
anyway,
that one.
Yeah, in fact, I think the singer was... a guy who later went on to television work. He was a, was he a quiz show host? And he had a variety show of some kind. I can't remember anything anymore, Bob. It's getting to that point where, you know, except I was just talking to a buddy of mine. We were talking Cleveland Browns stuff because we're both old guys and we have an attitude, you know, that this is not the same league, Bob. The whole thing is different than it was when it started, and TV money has changed that whole league around.
Oh, I saw, you know, they were talking yesterday about how Peyton Manning would break the touchdown pass record last night, and he did. But they showed the number, the record holders for touchdown passes through the 30s, I think the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and, you know. And I think the touchdown pass record holder in the 30s had like 40 over his career.
Yep.
And then you get up into the 40s, and it's what? That's Sammy Baugh territory.
Yeah. Well, to me, when the first time I went to a Pro Football Hall of Fame, I almost walked into a picture of Arthur Graham, and his work was so good that when you look at the National Football League between 50 and 55, only three teams played for the title. The Browns from the Eastern Division every year, and L.A. and Detroit from the West. And the next year was the Giants and the Bears. And then it was back to Detroit and Cleveland in 57. And Detroit got even for a game. They lost 56-10 in 54. They got even in Cleveland 59-14. Because Milt Plum got himself injured. And Milt was never much of a quarterback, but, you know, it's better to have his basic strength was the ability to hand the ball off to Jim Brown, you know. And we lost a center. Browns lost a center. And all I could think of was a guy they called Gunnar Gatzke, Frank Gatzke, who was from, guess where?
Do tell.
West Virginia.
Really? I didn't know that. That's a name of which
I think he played for West Virginia University, and he's with the Browns from the All-America Conference days, and he had been like so many guys. He had been a veteran of World War II, like so many of those people. See, Paul had a job with the Great Lakes Naval Training Station during the war, and he saw a lot of men go past his face. And he remembered names very well because the people he had, the Pro Football Hall of Fame has at least from the Graham era, I mean from the Paul Brown era. Well, Jim Ray Smith went in there. He's a veteran blocker for Jim Brown. He went in as an older guy, you know, they're bringing those guys in, you know, that have been passed over in their youth. But other than that, the only guy that played somewhere else and wore a Browns uniform was Paul Warfield. But and Ozzie Newsome. Ozzie Newsome was the only Art Modell era Browns player in the Hall of Fame. And Ozzie, I don't know. What do you know about Ozzie with this situation with Mr. Rice? Yeah, he's GM for Baltimore, you know.
Well, I mean, he let him go pretty quick, didn't he?
Yeah, I guess so.
Of course, I read something earlier today that sounded pretty speculative that said Ray Rice could be readmitted to the NFL as early as next week.
Well, I hate to say what he did was so totally wrong, but until the laws were changed, you could get away with all kind of stuff physically with your wife. I mean, it was terrible. But it was, you know, the police would hesitate. Some of the women were in such bad shape that they'd back off of charging the bastard with something. And but the state took it over, and in Ohio, I know. And if you were arrested for it, if the police showed up at your house and your wife showed signs of abuse, the state took over filing the charges. So they were trying to shoot it down badly. I mean, when I say shoot it down, they wanted to get rid of it. And I had my first wife decided a miniature baseball bat would get my attention. I mean, stuff happens like that, and both sides of the story are not good. But you get two kids sometimes, two young kids, they'll find a way to argue about whether the sun's shining or not, you know? It's a shame. Human nature is being what it is. There's a lot of the... when you're young, anything's feasible, you know? You don't know what you knew.
That's where guidance and mentoring come in.
Yep. Yep. Because I was raised by... my mother and father were divorced, so I was raised... I'll tell you what got me. I put in 4 years in that Catholic children's home, Bob, and you had to fight. Fighting was something you did, or you got walked over. There was a bully boy, Trellis. When the nuns weren't around, anything was liable. Somebody was liable to take a whack at you. And even the nuns were abusive to us. They didn't think they were being abusive. They were disciplining you.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Just what I needed, you know?
Yeah, because you've been so undisciplined. Hey, Bill, got to get out of here. We're right on top of it, but it's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you. Take it easy.
All right. Bye now. Our buddy Bill, Mr. Stress, calling from Cleveland. It is right at a minute before the hour. I am happy to announce that Kate single-handedly finished off Robert's 20th of the month up over down under challenge. So the challenge has been met. So thank you to Kate, and thank you to Sal, and thank you to Henry, and thank you very, very kindly to Anthony. Couldn't have done it without all of you. Thank you very, very much. Back tomorrow night with Titanic Tuesday. Hope you'll be here as well. Remember, no programs Wednesday and Thursday, and then back for Friday on the front porch. Thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. You with your kind contributions of your time, your ideas, your emails, your phone calls, your chat room participation, your contributions that keep the bills paid here. Thank you very, very much, one and all. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Cold River Mountain Watch. And yes, always, 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 Gina, it is all for you. Good night, y'all.